We last week prayed, I think Saturday evening there were about 20 people and that spoke in tongues for the first time. And Sunday morning, I wasn't sure, maybe a dozen or more. So I want to continue to encourage you. The Bible says, pursue love in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, pursue love and desire the spiritual gifts. So a lot of people, a lot of churches, they emphasize the grace of God and the love of God, and others they emphasize the power of God and this, that, and the other. But I want to encourage you, you can actually go for the whole 10 yards. 15 yards? Yeah. Sounds better. Why are they always limited at 9 yards? I don't know. Okay. Praise God. Is everybody blessed this morning? I'm going to speak this morning about truth or facts. And it's something that's very important. The facts are always easier to believe because they're measurable, undeniable. And how many people actually live by facts? But we know that you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So before we start, I'd like to show this video, if someone could man the lights. So thanks very much. It's only 3 minutes and 14 seconds. I timed it.
You're about to take what could well be the most important tour of your life. It's going to be a worldview tour. We are going to turn and gaze upon the face of God. What should we hear? What should we see? You are going to be amazed. Why did Jesus come into the world? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know? From time to time, we're going to bring some experts into the classroom.
The world is reeling with uncertainty. It's almost like it's in the air.
Truth is fundamentally about who God is.
We're challenged to either confront culture, to abandon it, or transform it.
Is our culture filled with lies? This is a battle of worldviews.
Do you really believe that what you believe is really real?
Evil. What is it? Where did it come from? Why is it in the world?
Who is God?
Who is God?
Who is man? What does God say about who man is?
What takes us captive?
What is insanity?
What is the world's view of work?
God is a God of social order.
We're going to look at economics, art, media, music, and literature
in this sphere of labor.
We're going to look at the area of philosophy and ethics.
Everything is about relationships.
There is no direction you can travel in which God has not spoken.
I want us to look at the answers that we get from both Christians and non-Christians.
We get over 250,000 letters and phone calls at Focus every month. And if you were to listen in on some of those, it would make your heart break. The body of Christ has so bought the lies of the world that we have not only conformed to the world, but we are suffering deeply from the consequences of believing those lies. We have become convinced that the only long-term solution to this problem is to rebuild those foundations, to build again that comprehensive biblical worldview within God's people. One of the effects of a comprehensive and systematic biblical worldview is that you're not as easy to fool. The effect we want to see upon people's lives is that they have that ability to discern and to be able to fend off those lies and the illusions that bombard them from every quarter of life.
Praise God. Yeah, that's a good illustration of the great question, what do you believe? Of course, we all believe the world is flat. Well, we used to. We all believe the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Well, we used to before we realized that it was us that was moving, not the sun. We all believe, of course, that if you're sick, the best thing to do is put some leeches on your body and let them suck the bad blood out. That was a common practice by people who like to practice on people. And so there are many different ways and many different thoughts that we have about, you know, what is the truth? What do we believe? What do you believe? What do we believe? What is your belief system based on? And if your belief system is based on an experience, then it's not actually a belief, it's an experience. Fact, of course, is measurable. So people say, like the earth being flat. And there are many other things that we look at that we seem to take for granted as being the truth because it's a fact. Where if it's the truth, then it's something that probably has to be unseen as opposed to something seen, because we stand on the truth in the midst of the facts coming against us. Did I say that right? Let me read you this recent article that I thought was very interesting about what is truth and does it matter? A recent George Barnard research group, now that is a Christian polling group that is very, very good and very full of integrity. A recent Barnard research group's survey on what Americans believed, they asked the question, is there absolute truth? Of course, most unbelievers say, absolutely not. I must have been born in the wrong country. But think about that. Most unbelievers, when they're asked, is it absolute truth, say, absolutely not. Which is an absolute truth. Okay, press on, Macduff. 66% of adults that were polled responded that they believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. Go figure. 72% of those polled aged 18 to 25 expressed this belief. 72% of people polled between 18 and 25 expressed the belief that you can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. What does the Bible say about being double-minded? Unstable in how many ways? All of them. So if you think there's two truths, you are already in instability. All right, let's press on. This one takes too long. In a recent series of more than 20 interviews conducted at random... Oh, it doesn't matter. So, most people today, especially the young, truth is whatever you believe. Truth is what you have experienced, and therefore is truth for you. Most people say there is no absolute truth. And if there were such a thing as absolute truth, how could we know it? The next one's a good comment. People who believe in absolute truth are dangerous. I'm a serial truther. Make a note of that. That was quite funny. Of course, a lone evangelical Christian was asked that absolute truth is Jesus Christ. There's not much else I want to say on this except a great comment from one of the people in the past, a great philosopher by the name of Marilyn Monroe said, I believe in everything a little bit. And if you don't know who she is, you can go down Broadway, and when you get to Broadway Joe's on the corner, she's on the roof. Along with the other great philosophers of our time, like the Blues Brothers and that guy that just left the building. Anyway, this is the opinion of most postmodernists and relativism and pragmatism. So in other words, if it's like truth is relative. And we have to make a decision on some of these things because the rising generation, those who are going to take our place, those who are going to actually lead us, are believing these more than most of us boomers did. When I was 29 years old and I was born again, for some reason, completely and utterly without any thought of doubt in it, I believed the Bible from Genesis to Revelation was the Word of God. I believed it was, and I immediately believed it was. And so from that time on, I've always thought, okay, now I have a platform of truth to to what I can believe my life, otherwise and build my life. But did you hear some of the statements and the comments that some of those men made? I think I wrote it down somewhere. It was all a bit hectic. And I liked the first comment so much. Ravi Zacharias, a great apologist with an enormous ministry down in Atlanta, the Indian man that was on there, he said that the world is reeling from uncertainty. Did you hear that? And how uncertainty is such a bad thing. How many of us here are uncertain about our future? I don't want to see your hands. But how about young people? How many young people know what they're going to be doing with the rest of their lives? How many people are so continually looking and searching for these answers until they find somewhere that seems to be working for them and then often stop on their journey and become content or seemingly content, and yet they've stopped halfway to where God wants to take them? Did you hear that other man's comment that I thought was dynamic? And they said, there is no direction that you can travel in that God hasn't spoken into. And I thought that was a beautiful comment, because let's take the Bible just for a moment. The Bible, as you know, a very thick book. Most people have never read it from cover to cover, including Christians. And as the most popular book in the world, it seems pretty amazing that that is the case. You would think that anything you do in your life, whatever you do or don't believe, without reading the most popular book in the world cover to cover, how can you qualify your opinion if you haven't read the most popular book? It's like, you know, not knowing what Harrison Ford is doing these days. You know, you just don't know whether he's finished with the Ark and moved on to the Crystal Skull and such things. So we need to keep up with the latest news, which is still written in the Bible, because there's no path that you can travel that God hasn't already spoken into. The difference that separates our religion and every other religion in the world is prophecy. Prophecy is what separates us, because prophecy is the only thing that was so totally laid out. The 300-something prophecies of the Messiah were clearly written. If you just want to take a few minutes to read Psalm 22 is a classic. Isaiah 53, another classic. So clearly describing the crucifixion hundreds of years before the Romans had invented the torture. So all these things are very clearly written in the Bible. In the Bible, it does talk about the earth is round. And there are many other things that confirm what science has been trying to investigate that we now know to be true. But the Bible was written, I believe, by some 40 authors over a period of 1,400 or 1,500 years. It was written by fishermen. It was written by farmers. It was written by shepherds. It was written by kings. It was written by scholars. And all the way through, though, there's always a vein that you can follow that it's pointing towards a day that's declaring that man is inadequate. And in man's inadequacy, we need to continue to pursue the living God to find out how can we, as inadequate men, find the truth so the truth can set us free. From the very beginning, we were obviously in bondage. I've never met the person, no matter how successful they think they are, that is free in the way that I believe mankind was designed. Therefore, we need to continue to pursue the truth. And I'm going to read a scripture this morning and use as a text 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you'd like to turn there with me. And while you're turning there, maybe many of you aren't aware of our reading program. As I've said before, there are some of us who are not yet self-disciplined enough to have our own reading program. So please avail yourself to ours. It's on the back of the yellow piece this morning in the bulletin. And the reading program is also every day. It's posted on our website. So therefore, if ever you need to know what's going on, then please go to the website. But I want to read today from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and beginning verse 7. Are you with me? If you need a Bible, there's one in the chair in front of you, and you can help yourself to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul wrote to the church that he planted, that he established, that he was the father of, and this is what he said, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Just like to encourage you what the Bible says about wisdom. Sophomore, I believe, uses that word. Have you ever actually, anybody ever done a study on what the word sophomore means? No? It kind of implies people who think they know what they're talking about when they really don't. And coincidentally enough, the sophomore year in college is the number one year when people lose their faith. Did you hear that? I'd like to encourage all of you with children who are going on to college to make sure that you watch your kids when they begin to go into the depths of despair. The fire swamp. You can laugh, man. What do you think most colleges in America are? How about the colleges today where if you actually believe, if you're a professor and you actually believe in creation, the odds are you not only won't get a job, if you have one, you may get fired. And we're sending our kids, did you see the movie? And we're sending our children into that fire swamp, assuming that Dread Pirate Robert will get us out the other side. Okay, you non-movie buffs, let's press on. I'm sorry, if you haven't seen Princess Bride. Okay, that's my opinion. But we speak the wisdom of God. The Bible says, the wisdom that is from beneath. Does anybody know what it says about the wisdom from beneath? It says it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. The wisdom that is from beneath is earthly. In other words, you want to be an engineer, you need to learn about mechanics. You want to be a farmer, you need to learn about agriculture. It's earthly, it's of the earth. It's sensual, in other words, it's measured by the sensuals, and it's demonic. So go do the math, hallelujah. Math is not demonic, that's earthly. But anyway, that's not the point. But it says this, and I want you to hear this. The wisdom that is from beneath is earthly, sensual, and demonic. The wisdom that is from above is peaceable and it's kind and it's gentle and it's easy to be entreated. So there is a difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom from beneath. Let's carry on. Verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages to our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Can we just go over that? That all the wisdom of the Greeks, all the wisdom of the Romans, all the wisdom of Judaism at that time couldn't recognize that what they were doing by crucifying Jesus Christ was actually Jesus legally taking authority over the entire fallen race, and he was redeeming everybody, but they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. Because the forces of evil lost that battle, and from that time on, his kingdom began to gain ground again all around the earth, which, of course, is part of the battle we're in. Bear with that thought. We'll get there in a minute. Verse 9, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. Okay, therefore, for each and every one of us to see and understand and know the will of God and the kingdom of God, it's impossible for you to do it with your senses. The Bible says, as you can look in your reading program on Tuesday, it says the kingdom of God in Luke 17, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. Therefore, you cannot say, oh, there it is. Oh, look. Oh, here it is. And also, the scripture also says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So if flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, then how come it lives in me and it lives in you? The reason is my spirit has now been made new. Hallelujah. I've been born again. Not of a corruptible, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God. So at one time in my life, in fact, for the first 29 years of my life, I was not connected to God, and I was trained by the wisdom of this world. Therefore, I have no idea if I was going in the direction of God. Can I just encourage all of you that if you were trained and raised and educated before you were born again, who led you in those years? Most people think it was God. I don't believe that. So therefore, I want to encourage you that when you get born again, seriously think about maybe what you should be doing. Because I was a production engineer. And believe it or not, I'm not anymore. And the reality is, I wasn't born to be a production engineer. I was born to preach. Are we okay here? But because of the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of this world gave me the facts that all I could do was this, this, and this. Therefore, that's what I pursued. But the wisdom of God, which was later revealed to me, began to show me that I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. So how many of us could be, maybe, not insinuating too much, how many of us possibly are in the wrong jobs, the wrong careers, and the wrong professions? Possibly. Because you were led into it by the wisdom of this world and not the wisdom of God. It's always worth thinking about these things, which I think you are at the moment by some of your rather odd looks. Here we go. 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Therefore, it is impossible to understand God from an academic platform. Here we go. I don't mean theologians. I mean, all right, just bear with me. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? You've probably heard, who here has heard one of my favorite phrases, when you're deceived, you're the last one to know about it? Who's heard that before, right? Okay, it's an amazing reality that people who are deceived don't know it. Really? You mean people who are deaf can't hear? It's that simple. The nature of deception is you're deceived. So therefore, you think you are this when you're manifesting that. And everybody knows except you, of course. So think about these things. We as a pastor, you see so many times and you try and bring a word to someone and say, do you realize that you have this problem? Similar to that. And people get offended and they leave the church and all these things go on because the deception is keeping us bound and limited. I want you to hear this. Keeping us limited when God wants us to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Free from what? Free from every bondage. So we can actually fulfill the will of God in our life. And what is the will of God in our life? The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Are we okay? Think about that. You know, when the rich young man refused to do what Jesus said, it said he left sorrowful because he turned his back on the will of God, and sorrow comes from turning your back on the will of God. And so I want to encourage you that if you're lacking joy, it's because the fruit of his kingdom is love, joy, and peace. If you're lacking peace, it's because we aren't allowing his kingdom to prevail in our life, and we're living under the wisdom that is from beneath. Because you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm not making this clear yet, but never mind, here we go. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Let's go down to verse... All right. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who, the spirit is a person, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. This is a free gift, saints. It's free. If any man lack wisdom, ask. 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 Whatever. Do one of those two things. Right. Verse 13. These things we also speak not in words which are man's wisdom, but the Holy Spirit teaches, here we go, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Not comparing spiritual with natural. Now, I found that in this world, can you imagine if you had an argument? What country do you think's best? America, Canada, or a tomato? What? You know, you've heard about comparing apples with oranges, right? Well, that's what happens when the argument of God comes in. Don't compare natural things. Don't compare facts with spirit. Don't compare tangible, seeable, taste, touch, feelable with the unseen world of the spirit world. Excuse me. So, good tomato, I told you it was. Oh, salmonella, oh my God. Oh, that's next week, sorry. That was good. So, thank God for tomatoes. We need to compare facts with truth. Truth is unseen. So if your truth is your experience, it's only a fact. It's only a fact. It isn't necessarily the truth. The fact is, one may not feel well today. The fact is, you may wake up in the morning and go, and feel like Eeyore. And make a decision, are you going to look for your tail or are you going to look for your spring? As in, boing, 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 Tigger. So that's your decision. I'm going to tell you, joy is a decision. Joy is a decision. So you wake up in the morning, you feel lousy. What are you going to say? You're going to agree with the fact or you're going to agree with the truth? If any two on earth agree. So who are you going to agree with? Fact is, oh, man. Oh, my stiff this morning. Or the fact is, or the truth is, you wake up and go, Father, I thank you that you are the Lord God that heals us. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to be healed instantaneously. I'm not going to say that. But who are you going to begin to agree with? Who are you going to begin to agree with? You're not feeling good, and you can say either, oh, I think I'll go back to bed, or praise God, by his stripes we are healed, and I know I'll feel much better as we keep moving. And so you make a decision with the fact or you make a decision with the truth. Let's take one of the most common diseases in America, which is called moneyitis. I don't know if you've heard of it. He says with an empty wallet. No, it ain't. I've got something in there somewhere. There it is. So this, being as the biggest curse that I found in our culture pretty much, that this thing is we have to make a decision whether it's a tool or an object to be worshipped. So therefore, if you can't pay your bills, you look at your bills and go, oh my God, which one are you talking about? Not mine, because mine doesn't think that way. We okay? The money God thinks that way, because the money God just stole your tail. Oh my. Look at my bills. I know I'm a bit cryptic, but I can't help it. I was born in London. And so we now have a pile of bills, and we look at the bills, and we go, oh, no, I'm never going to get out of debt. Oh, who are you agreeing with? The fact? Or are you going to look at the truth? The truth is my God, not, oh, my God, my God. That wasn't bad, was it? So forget the, oh my God, and go to, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't the scripture say, giving thanks to the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places by Christ Jesus? Isn't that the truth? Okay, how many times a week do you believe that? You're lonely, you're miserable, you're down. We was talking this last night with Paul, and he was saying, how many, listen, when you're down, do you know what you're doing? You're meditating on your downness, and it turns into worship. Oh yes, worship is defined by whatever you're focusing on. Come on, folks. This is a good time to nod. So therefore, when you're down, and it's everybody else's fault but yours, you're worshiping your facts. But the Bible says, whatsoever thing be true, whatsoever thing be honest, whatsoever thing be just, whatsoever thing be pure, whatsoever thing be lovely, whatsoever thing be of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians chapter 4. So the reality is loneliness one of the worst diseases in America? Do you know, I don't really want to say this, but I'm going to say this. As a pastor, you unfortunately, in the end, you kind of get used to it. Sort of, not really. You hear people say, oh, I don't fit in there. I haven't got any friends there. Well, the fact is, you haven't got any friends. The truth is, you're unfriendly. See, because the Bible says, the truth says, that if you need a friend, you must show yourself to be friendly. So therefore, the people that don't get invited anywhere are actually unfriendly. Last week we had some fun. Not we, I'm picking on someone again. My two daughters and a certain drummer that will remain nameless, but there was only one today. They downstairs in the cafe last Sunday afternoon and they start laughing. No reason. They decide to mess around. So they all start, they do it so well. And the next thing, my wife goes, what's that? And she, whoever she was talking to, she said, excuse me. And me too. I was talking to Tom Segretti. I said, hang on, Tom, what's going on over there? And the next thing you know, we come over. Wendy says, what's happening? He said, nothing. We're just laughing to see what would happen. And so she came over, you know. And so she lost it, man. I mean, she just, she was almost crying from like, she couldn't even stand straight. She laughing. I come over. Of course, I wasn't quite suckered into it so much. I'm pretty good at keeping a straight face. Don't play poker with Vaughn. And but then the other people can't creep in over. And you know what it was? His joy is so attractive. Joy is so attractive. And misery, you know, is... I don't want to go there. We'll talk about that a bit more next week. But what I want to say is this. Are we able to handle the truth? Not just the fact, the truth. If you don't fit in somewhere, be a little friendlier. And if you can't be friendlier, then what are you worshiping? Because we serve a friendly God, and we serve a God of joy. Therefore, surely, if you worship the God of joy as opposed to the God of misery, then which way is going to come out? The fact, nothing's changed in your life. You still can't pay your bills. You're still not feeling well. You're still going through a certain pain in your life. But the truth is, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and it's available to everybody by His Spirit. And we must compare spiritual things with spiritual. So if you're lacking anything in the Spirit, it's because you're trying to get it in the natural. Let me just tell you this. If you're miserable with debts, you'll be miserable without them. Because you're just miserable. Yeah. Sort of. Let's finish this text and we'll try and wrap it up. Now, my favorite verse is verse 14. We've got to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, isn't that beautiful? But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. So therefore, I come to you and you've got debts, or Crown Financial, as we've already met, that Diane mentioned, which we need to get another class running. In fact, we'd like to continually run the Crown Financial, so those of you that have financial problems can receive the wisdom of God in the matter. Right, Diane? the wisdom of God in the matter. This is the fact. You have no money, so you scrimp and save. What is the truth? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. But our misery refuses to believe that because we're worshiping the fact instead of the truth. Are we okay? When you start worshiping the truth sets you free. And the truth is a person, Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you a couple of things in case you don't understand how to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And that is this. This morning, this suddenly came to me. The pragmatist, the atheist, the relativist, whatever, whoever it is, when they don't believe there's a God, right? Or if there's a God, he's a God, he's their God that suits them. In other words, they made God in their image, all right? They made God in their image. So, yet these people, they believe in their instincts, they trust their instincts. What the heck is an instinct? Could somebody show me an instinct? Measure an instinct? Count an instinct? It's an unseen intangible. They nearly all believe in women's intuition. Come on, folks, help me now. Almost the whole world believes in women's intuition. Oh, them women, they're always right. They're always right when we don't turn the gas off when we go on vacation. They're always right. They all believe in luck. What the heck's luck? It's an intangible, unseen, non-existent being. Yet the whole world believes, oh, good luck, I really mean it. Mean what? What the heck's luck? You see, and all these things, these people that don't believe in the spirit world promote the spirit world the whole time. They believe in vibes. They believe in karma. They believe in yin and yang. They believe in atmosphere, fate. They believe in crossing their fingers. They believe in blessing people who sneeze, as if that's going to do anything. And, of course, let alone whether they go a bit further and believe in horoscopes and Ouija boards and stuff like that. So what I want to just tie up is this. Some of the most basic things. By the way, the latest thing in this life, good cue there, Chris. The latest thing in our church is when people sneeze, we say, shut up. But that's another story. Let's just close and wrap up on a few scriptures. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The kingdom of God does not come by observation. It also says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, which is a misprint in the reading program, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And also it says, this is one I just want you to look at, Romans 3, verse 3, it says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? How many of you believe that in 1977, I was the unofficial, of course, Northern Afghani arm wrestling champion? Who believes that? Didn't mean to say it happened. I'm pretty good at making things up. Now, nobody was there except Wendy. And it could be a fabulous story. In fact, when we were down at the Vineyard Network the other week, they played that game as an icebreaker, two truths and a lie. And that was one of them. Yeah, I'm the Northern Afghani arm wrestling champion. Unofficial, of course. What? You did what? And it's amazing, you know, Jesus said this. If you can't believe earthly things, how can you believe heavenly things? How many times have you said when something amazing has happened, I don't believe it, yet you're looking at it. Thomas, come here, let me slap you. So the point is, what's truth to me is not what's truth to you, and what's truth to you is not what's truth to me. There is truth. I believe the Bible to be truth. And please, you must hear this. All of it. Not what suits you. It's either all truth or none of it is. You can't pick and choose, because then that makes you God. Can you see that? It's either all true or none of it's true. And I choose to believe and believe since the nanosecond I got born again, it's all true. And that is what gives me stability in my life. And just to close on that one thought, what that one man said, is a biblical worldview is so that we will not be fooled so easily. That's how young girls don't get pregnant, is they have a biblical worldview so that when some boy comes up and begins to butter them up and give them some sugar, they say, no, that's not the truth. Get off. Back off, hairy legs. I'll get my pastor to slap you. Okay, I'm going to close on three questions. Are you ready? This is your to-do list this week. This is your to-do list. So my question this morning is not, did anybody see that movie, Anger Management? Well, it was good, wasn't it? You remember when the Lakers fans said, who are you? Remember that? Who are you? And he said, oh, well, I'm a, you know, computer engineer. No. That's what you, who are you? Oh, well, I was born in Brooklyn. No. Who are you? I don't know what you're talking about. Well, it's amazing how many Christians couldn't answer that question. I'm not asking what you do. I'm asking who you are. Who are you? Question number one this week. Who are you? Figure it out this week. If you need some help, read the book of Ephesians. And right after that is the book of Philippians. Go for that one too. And then right after that is the book of Colossians. Read those books. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Not one time in there does it call you a carpenter or a truck driver or a teacher or a nurse. It doesn't call you that once. The Bible says in Galatians 3:26, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, it doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, how hard up you are, how you feel, you're a son of God all the time. You are blessed all the time, even after you just yelled at the kids. You are still blessed, even though you don't know it, because this is a constant truth. You are never alone, because he will never leave you or forsake you. Constant truth. You are never alone. It's just you keep measuring America with a tomato. It's not a good comparison. Here we go. Second question. Who do you see when you look at others? Who do you see? The Bible says that even though it says from now on, 2 Corinthians 5, it says from now on we know nobody according to the flesh. Did you all hear that? From now on we know nobody according to the flesh. Therefore, you're not saying, well, he's a big fat Englishman. No, he's not a big fat Englishman. He is a new creature in Jesus Christ. In fact, I had it confirmed around the corner. We were around there for lunch. At what's it called next door? That great Tenbrook Commons. There's a little kid standing between me and the tomatoes. Oh, that's another one for next week. And I said, "Son, never stand between a fat man and food." He looked up at me and says, "You ain't fat." I said, "I like you. Who's his mum? Is he? He's a nice kid. I like this kid. This kid's great." The way he said it. You ain't fat. True. But don't stand between me and the tomatoes. That's my point. You see, I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. How many times do we go, like in the movie Finding Nemo, do we go and say, my name's Vaughan? Do you know what we're talking about? Let me try it again. My name's Vaughan. And we confess that we're alcoholics. Are you with me? You see, if you confess you're an alcoholic, when the Bible confesses that old things have passed away, are you agreeing with the fact or the truth? I would prefer to agree with the truth. Because you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So therefore, you have to make a decision, not only who you are, but who everybody else is that you're dealing with. And the final one is, who do you trust? We as a nation, especially since the 60s and 70s, became a nation that stopped trusting. Question authority is the mantra of American education. It's the first thing you're asked when you go to college. Question everything. Question everything. Because as long as they can take absolute truth out of your thinking, you will be unstable for the rest of your life. You'll never find the will of God, and you'll always have this weird moving around on the tide of uncertainty that's going to just produce little or nothing in your life. So I want to encourage you, folks, make a decision today. Is the Bible truth? If it is, how much of it? And if it's all of it, go for your life, guys. Read it. Ask God for a spirit of understanding and move on it. Are we okay? So, Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, that today we've asked you for that spirit of wisdom. We've asked you for that spirit of understanding, as it says in the book of Ephesians. We've asked you for the wisdom that is from above, not the wisdom that is from beneath. So, Father, we thank you that we believe that Jesus is the truth. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And Lord, let us this week meditate and contemplate on who are we, who are our brothers and sisters, and who do we trust? And Father, I thank you for that. And I give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.